Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Hey, UK Bills Mafia. This is Christian Wade of your Buffalo Bills. This is the Red, White, and Buffalo Blues, a UK Bills podcast with your hosts, Matt and Alex. Let's go, Buffalo! Woo!
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Red, White, and Buffalo Blues, a UK Bills podcast, Bills news with a UK twist. Alex and Matt here, as always, and today it is be the Bills GM for the day. Defend your draft. We have four guys coming on the show. Each have done their own drafts from multiple different machines. And we put it to them to defend their draft. Alex, are you looking forward to this?
Yeah, we're getting so close now. And now is where the interest and the excitement start to come from, because it's real. And we're about to make our team better, because I believe that the Bills will do exactly what they're supposed to. They're not going to do something stupid. You know, they're not the Raiders. They're not just going to take the fastest guy. They're not, you know,
Janikowski in the first.
Who was that goon? Who was the GM who took Aaron Maben?
When was that? 2013. I'm not sure.
Who cares? Right? They're not here anymore. So. I mean, we have people that we can trust, and the fun thing that we're going to do is we have people that we don't know and they come on and talk to us about, you know, prospects maybe you haven't heard of, maybe you don't know about. So it's just really interesting to get more insight on more players.
Yeah. So the one good thing about this is obviously is that there is no there's no major need on there. So we can go in there with best player available on the draft board. Obviously, edge and cornerback is a big need on there, but we're not.
Someone take a running back with their first?
Yeah. Why not? Let's have that. We'll get that. We'll have that discussion.
No, let's not have that conversation. We've done it like 10 times already.
The last time
I hated a Bills draft pick was Josh Allen. Okay, so if they draft a running back and I hate it,
you're gonna love it.
What the hell do I know? You know, all right,
yeah. So sit back and enjoy. We have four UK Bills fans all becoming the Brandon Bean for the day. So enjoy, leave a comment, because I'll probably put each four of them on Twitter and get you to vote for the best one. So enjoy, guys.
We talk football.
We can always talk football.
I just want the team that I want one time.
So second up on GM for the day, we have Mark Salem. Mark, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Pleasure, Matt. Thanks for having me on.
So first of all, before we get into the draft, just want to know, how did you become a Bills fan?
Oh, long story, really. It was kind of, I'm one of those guys that got into it through my old man, and he was a big Washington fan back in the early 90s. And obviously, if you start watching American football kind of 1990-1991, it was Jim Kelly, the gun offense, and that was the team to watch. Little did I know that you get to 1994 as like a 13-year-old, and that was as good as it was going to get for the next 30 years. But it's good. It's a good little fan base to be part of, and it's nice to have the Bills as my good team for a change.
Yep. After all that hurt, we finally get into the good side of it.
Yeah, indeed.
So let's go on. Let's start with you've stayed at pick 30. And the last guy traded down a couple of times, and you drafted Kwity Paye.
I mean, he's probably going to sign him too.
Well, yeah. I'm in my football mode. I'm in the transfer mode rather than the drafting mode. Okay. I don't know why. Yeah. But
thank God we don't have to deal with people like Mino Raiola in the NFL.
Exactly. So Kwity Paye, edge. Now, I think this one surprised Alex a lot, how he actually dropped to 30. I mean, in some mocks, he is dropping there. Was he that number one choice for you when it came up on the board? Because I know he's an explosive pass rusher, probably could have the year to sit behind Hughes and Addison to do it and then actually come through next year.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of stuff recently about him where there's some mocks I've seen that have him dropping in the second, and one I saw not that far off that was even having him in the early third round, which I find laughable. I think he's an absolute no-brainer pick at 30 if he's still there. For me, there's this. It's a funny draft for the Bills, isn't it? You normally, I've been so programmed to go into drafts feeling like you've got a top 10, top 15 pick and you're taking a skill position. I can't remember the last time, really, that we went into a draft where QB wasn't even a discussion. And it feels amazing that we've got a bit more, you know, we're almost in best player available territory. And for me, if we're getting to 30th, there's a couple of positions of need that I looked at specifically. One was edge and one was to get a proper corner two. And I had a couple of choices here, both of which fell and both of which surprised me. One was Kwity Paye. The other was Caleb Farley at corner. I chose to go with edge purely because, like you said, I think if he's sat on the board at 30, he's explosive, he's quick. He's probably not the finished article. So as you said, I think the ability to be able to sit behind someone and learn from Jerry Hughes for a year, I think is invaluable. But I think if he's sat on the board at 30, he's an absolute lock. Tie him down. Get him signed.
Yeah, no, exactly. I think go on, Alex.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the biggest thing that stands out here is, you know, there's raw pass rush talent, but there's developed run-stopping talent. And I think that's really important to get on the edge. Where a strong guy like this with a really powerful lower body. I mean, the way he was used in Michigan is interesting. Led them in tackles for loss, only 11 and a half sacks in the 2 years as a starter. So do you want him for pass rush or is it the helping with the run stop?
For me, he's just,
Or is just because he's a freak?
His intangibles are off the scale.
Yeah.
And I think he can kind of be molded almost into what you want him to be. I do see him as a pass rusher. And I think he's a hand in the dirt, starting defensive end in this league. I think he's just, there's something about him as a physical specimen, as an athlete, that means he can't fail to make the grade eventually.
Mm. Yeah. So
knock on wood, that's a really dangerous thing to say because they're guys.
Yeah. Sorry, Kwity. You watch him get injured in 2 weeks now, and that's him done.
you're gonna pay the man after his fourth or fifth year.
Right? Yeah, Tumbleweed.
Yeah,
well, yeah, sure.
So you've stuck again, and from looking at your mock, you didn't make any trades.
No trades for me. I just kind of like, you know, let's just get through it, see who's available, and looking early rounds, it's more looking at needs. Mm-hmm. But for me, I think you can. There's an obvious need in the fourth round where we don't have a pick at the moment. But I think if we're trading down for picks, fair enough. If it's for, you know, maybe next year, but there's not many fifth, sixth, seventh round picks that I think are going to make this Bills roster. So if we're picking up loads of sixth and seventh round picks, I can't necessarily see the point.
Yeah. So 61, you've gone with Aaron Robinson, cornerback out of UCF. Now, this guy could be, in my opinion, could be a chess piece. He may play slot at UCF, but can play outside. The only thing I can think of downside for him is that he's going to be 24 years old when the season comes and can be that over-aggressive that actually lead to the penalties on there. So, I mean, it's a risk-reward with him, but I feel that with him, you've got the best of both worlds that he can play inside, outside, and he's good in man and does dabble in zone, so he's that piece that you can play all over the place and play any scheme on that defense.
I agree. He was a four-star recruit when he was originally committed to Alabama, transferred obviously to UCF, did become slot corner, has experience playing outside. I agree. I think he's probably not quite consistent enough as a finisher yet, but I think the raw ability is there, and for the Bills, corner is a need, although I rate Levi Wallace higher than a lot of people do. But I think he has the ability to come in and complement in the slot positions, and best player available in the corner position at this point.
Yeah. So we do have, I see him being ranked, but at least in the draft guide that I have, as the 11th best corner. I have Melifonwu as the 10th best. He's a big Bills fan target. Was he available, and did you choose Robinson over Melifonwu?
No, had gone. He was who I was looking at, but no, had been taken. And I did a mock, like a UK fans mock, and I took Melifonwu, and because for that very reason. But no, unfortunately, he'd been picked a couple of picks before in this mock, because otherwise he would have gone.
Gotcha.
That's good. One of my favorites. So again, Grace,
let's just shoehorn him into every
anytime you can talk with that surname. Absolutely right.
Yeah.
exactly. So third round pick, you've gone with the wide receiver Amon-Ra St. Brown of USC, and obviously he's got I can never pronounce his brother's name. Is it
Equanimeous St. Brown. Yeah.
There we go. Alex is my pronunciation guy.
Thank God you're here, Alex.
I still think, I think you still pronounce Star Lutulele's name wrong. How do you do it?
Me?
Yeah.
Star Lutulele.
Yeah, it's Lutulele.
Oh, I would have said it I would have said it the way Matt said it.
Okay. Maybe it's an
English. British way.
Must be an English way.
But right. No.
Here we go. Amon-Ra St. Brown, 11th best wide receiver on the board. Reasoning here.
Amazed that he was still here in the third round. I've got to be honest. I think he is, like you said, I personally had him as my ninth wide receiver on the board. I think he's ridiculously fast again. A lot typically out of the slot.
Yeah.
But I think it's kind of wide receivers a bit of a sneaky need for the Bills at the moment, because with Cole Beasley is obviously fantastic, coming off a fantastic year, but he's up there in age.
Yeah.
And I think someone like Amon-Ra St. Brown, he's likely to be a starting and productive wide receiver for any team in this league.
Yeah.
Plug him in kind of in a team a bit like ours with a quick firing offense. I think he's an absolute no brainer. And shocked that he was still there in the third round.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely projects as a slot guy. So drafting for need and really good talent here. I mean, when the guy falls, you pretty much, I don't care what the need is, what you're planned on. The guy falls like this, you take him.
I couldn't agree more. Yeah.
And you've got a guy who's a polished route runner. Obviously he runs in the family. So he's learned from his brother on there. And as I say, is probably going to play the slot more than anything, and give you that good red zone target.
Big threat in short passing yards situations as well. So if there's the type of throw that Josh does like to make from time to time, I think he makes the roster without a shadow of a doubt if you're drafting him.
Yeah. So next up, 161. So our first or the fifth round pick. You've gone offensive tackle with Walker Little of Stanford.
A few question marks here.
Now, let me tell you about Walker Little.
Okay, here we go. All right, hit me, Chris Collinsworth. Here's a guy.
Walker Little, I think, is an absolute unearthed gem in this draft. I think he has the ability to play, to be a well-rounded left tackle in this league. Clearly isn't necessarily a position of huge need for us with Deion Dawkins, but he started left tackle for the Cardinals. Massive bloke. He is a complete what you would expect for an NFL size. I think he has every single ability. He's got range. The reason he's fallen this far is that he had a knee injury in 2019 and then sat out 2020, obviously due to COVID. Mm-hmm. But I think all of his intangibles are still there. Freak athlete, and keep him on the tackle if you need to, potentially move him into guard. But I think he's in the fifth round, far too good a player to pass up.
Yeah, I mean, if anything, you'd probably look in to start with that actually maybe put him on the right side, on right tackle first. Get him acclimatized to it, because his blocking, he's probably one really good for a lead block on running plays and can actually anchor in pass protection. So it's someone you can bring in, right tackle, keep him there for a year or two, then obviously keep him as a swing if needs be to actually push out if Dawkins actually does go down.
I see this as a really interesting draft because, as you mentioned, he sits out 2020. A fair few players had, and with some of the different divisions starting late, guys are going to fall just because they didn't play last year. So that's kind of what we're looking at here. And if Bean, you know, I think we're going to say he has the grapefruits to be able to take risks on players who didn't play last year because, you know, he trusts in everything. So,
to be honest, his last game, Walker Little, was actually all the way back in 2018.
That's crazy.
His last full game. He had first game in 2019, and he broke his ankle or something like that and was out for the whole season. So he hasn't played in near enough 2 years. So there's going to be some rust on there, but it's definitely a prospect with a very, very high upside.
That's it. And I think if he's falling because of injury, but they've done the homework has been done, if you know that the same person is still there, I think it's a steal in the
fifth. And where are we? We're in the fourth round,
Fifth round.
Fifth round, yeah. So, I mean, come on. Why not, you know, take that risk? You know, you're not getting a starter here, so not for this season. So that's smarts.
And then with our second fifth round, you've gone the guy that watch a little bit more of and actually really start to like now with Bobby Brown III, defensive lineman from Texas A&M. Now, he's only 20. He's always going to be a young prospect, but he ran a sub-5 second for 310-plus D lineman. He's actually disruptive motor, very explosive, and he'll definitely be a one tech in there. So you keep him behind Star, let him learn, and this guy at 20, he's going to be there. He could be there for years, to be honest. And that one I really do like. And if he doesn't go fourth, if he goes fifth, it'll be a bargain. I think if he could go fourth, if he goes in the fourth round, that's probably where I see him capped at the moment.
Yeah, I think you've said it all. Guy is massive, but he's like faster than me. It's ridiculous. Someone that's bigger, that's that big, can run that pace. I do think he's a developmental talent, but I think in a 4.3, he's a one tech guy. Huge lower body strength, and he's called Bobby Brown. You can't pass on someone
exactly
Bobby Brown. It's you don't do
exactly
that.
Exactly. I mean, and all the other people do say that yes, he ran a sub-5 second, but. And I've figured this out for defensive tackles. It doesn't matter really how fast you run that 40. It's your actual 10 yards that really is the one that you're going to be looked at the most for it. Because with your 10 yards, that's pretty much how much the defensive tackle is going to cover.
Get to the quarterback if he's rushing there. Yeah, and I think the biggest thing about when you're measuring speed at interior defensive line is his burst, because that generates, you know, power comes from the legs. And if he has speed, he'll be able to, if he gets leverage, he'll be able to beat his blocks. So I love that.
I think the biggest knock on him that I've seen is that he can be known for taking plays off. Every now and again, he can become a little bit lazy in his pass rush. So if the coaching staff can knock that out of him and we can make sure that he's engaged and that he's got the proper mindset, then I think he's an explosive player.
For sure. Well, I mean, you got to think that the culture can fix that, you know, in the locker room.
Definitely. If there's any team in the NFL that can, it's...
So round six, and you've gone for another wide receiver. Now, when I saw this, and especially, we'll go on to it in your seventh round as well.
Yeah.
What got me on there is in this draft, you've taken at least two receivers on there and thinking, obviously, thinking for the future on there, you've obviously got Diggs, in this instance, St. Brown, Beasley, Davis, Sanders, McKenzie, Hodgins, and all that. You've gone with Cornell Powell of Clemson.
Yep.
Now, for this guy, he's a late bloomer. Obviously, he's had all that talent ahead of him on there and only had 1 year starting production. So definitely is probably a practice squad candidate on there, but you just look at him without a shirt on and see how built he is.
Oh, don't
for that
do
guy.
That. Let me tell you, sorry.
It's I, like know DK that, Metcalf.
I know that Mark's here to defend the pick, but I gotta tell a story real quick. I'm in Boston the year Trent Richardson's coming out of the draft.
Oh god.
I'm there for a video game convention. I'm a nerd. You know, you can see what's going on behind me here. So we're taking a bus to the exhibition hall, and the guys, you know, he hears us talking about football, and he's like, "Oh, you know what? I met Trent Richardson a few weeks ago. I saw him with his shirt off. The guy's a freaking tank." And I'm just like, "That's probably the worst draft take I've ever heard," because aside from, you know, these scrawny, weird looking quarterbacks, everybody's jacked, dude. All right. You know, they all spend hours in the weight room. Seeing him with his shirt off is not a draft take, Matt. All right. Let's let
work for DK Metcalf though, didn't it?
Yeah, exactly. See, look where DK Metcalf is now. And that's probably
could yeah, okay. Yeah.
Now after he developed a little bit on that.
But yeah. The thing
with Powell
Brown is, and now you go wide receiver. Why wide receiver heavy? Or is it just
Do you know, it wasn't my intention. It was kind of like I said earlier on, sixth and seventh rounds. I'm not convinced how many of these guys are making the roster. However, with someone like Powell, he quiet for 2-3 years, but last year 53 receptions for 882 yards and 7 touchdowns. It was kind of an explosive coming out year for him. The last 6 games averaged more than 120 receiving yards per game. There's just something, he's a developmental prospect, there's no question about that, but it's an ascending talent, and that's why I think he's someone that in the sixth round, it's someone that's worth taking a punt on. There wasn't anyone else around there that, you know, if I'm proper GM, I might be trading out of that position to try and get something next year. But I think with him still being there, you thought, why the hell not?
So is this an outside guy? Is this an inside guy? Is this a deep threat guy? You know, tell me, like,
I think he fits in any scheme.
Is it?
I think he's just an interesting, like you said, he's built big. He's quick. He's
he can block.
Yeah,
and that's what on certain plays you want your wide receiver that can block on there. Look at how Robert Woods actually put his done in his career when he's actually probably one of the best blocking wide receivers in the league. And if you screen games and all that, you want a wide receiver that can actually just get physical and actually just hold off on their block. And with this one and your seventh round pick, Marquez Stevenson of Houston. Yep. You've got guys that have experience in punting, kick returning.
Very much with Stevenson, especially. He's someone that I looked at as being a solid slot receiver, but a dynamic kick returner. And that's why I think he's potential for someone that could make the roster. Seventh round pick, if we're moving on to the seventh round pick now, I think he's someone that is lost a little bit in a very receiver heavy draft, and he falls far further than I think he would do in many other years.
Yeah.
Super ridiculous lightning speed, suffered a lot because his quarterback play a lot in college was really, really poor.
Yeah.
But the big playability is there, ridiculous pace. And it's always funny as you get a lot of people like Ross coming out a couple of years ago, it's mad speed, but doesn't have necessarily the physical attributes to actually become like a solid wide receiver. With Stevenson, we'll see if he does. Again, developmental project, but because of the punt returning and kick returning ability, I think it is quite an intriguing prospect. Like I said, seventh round pick going wide receiver again certainly wasn't my plan. It's just how the cards fell.
Yeah. I mean, three kick return touchdowns in the last 2 seasons he's had. I mean, he is a guy, again, like I think it could be an Isaiah McKenzie type guy.
Yeah.
Limited root tree and technique at the moment, which is trainable. He's got the speed, the ability to track the ball and all that, be the explosive deep threat, use on end arounds, all that. I think he's one that should be higher up, in my opinion, but I can see with the negatives on there why he would be a 5-7 round pick. But I think he would be a sneaky pick to try and stash on that roster or on the practice squad on there.
Yeah, agree.
Not bad. Interesting. I mean, was this done before or after the Dean Marlowe news? Because I'm not seeing enough secondary depth, probably. I mean, that's where I would have went late in the draft.
Yeah, this was done only as recently as yesterday. I think
you seeing talent more than
Very much it is. Yeah, and okay. Like, I think that if we pick up a safety in the seventh round, that safety isn't making the roster, in my opinion.
Okay,
I think there's a chance you pick up someone who turns out to have explosive speed and the ability to break a kickoff. There's a chance that they may do. Great that, you know, I think you can pick up depth in what is something that is our strongest, one of our strongest position groups that we have on the team. For me, I can't see the point to take a punt on someone who might become a home run skill position guy. And, you know, if it works out, then great. You can pick up really good quality safeties whenever you want.
Yeah.
They'd be available to pick up.
Hyde aren't drafted by us. So I correct. Get that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think there'd be plenty undrafted, decent safeties and secondary cover that you'll be able to get.
Yeah. I mean, Levi Wallace was undrafted, right? So,
yeah, exactly.
An eye for secondary talent. So that's good. Yeah. Good.
So that's kind of my thoughts on it is, you know, it's late rounds in a roster that's stacked. Take a couple of punts and see if they work.
How out. Great is it to say that?
Oh no,
roster that's stacked. Oh my god,
isn't it good? I know. Yeah, honestly, can't remember the last time that you go into a draft and you're like, we can genuinely just take the best player available.
Sure. Exactly. Now this is where Alex is probably going to put me on the spot and ask me the question:
grading things. But Matt loves it, and I love Matt. I love making Matt do it. So, what's the draft grade here?
Draft grade here. Let's have a look through. I would kind of say B plus. If Robinson does develop, and actually can get over some of his mistakes on there, I could see that push to potentially an A minus.
I'll
say B plus.
All right. There we go.
I'm happy with that.
I haven't offended someone yet. That's good.
Until I listen back and every other one's got an A plus, right?
Yeah, exactly.
The last thing we need to do is alienate a fan and lose any. You know, we're trying to work our way up, not down. But alienating. All right.
Yeah. Okay. For me, it's the two home runs are Quitty Pay and Amon Ron St. Brown. Aaron Robinson, sure. As you said, if you can
see that.
Walker Little, there's a chance that he could be one of the best offensive tackles taken. A lot of these players are kind of wait and see development, but I guess, you know, you can pick someone at first overall and you never know.
Yeah.
That's good.
So, Mark, thank you very much for coming on, talking your draft and defending your draft as you were Bill's GM for the day. So thank you very much for coming on.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. And go Bills.
Go Bills.
You don't know anything about heart. You don't know anything about work. Huh? That's who we are.
Bills on three. One, two, three.